This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. This is Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. It is Wednesday, October the 30th in the year 2013, and tonight marks the second to the last day of ADHD Awareness Month. We've had a great month of awareness. We've been hooking up, working with Chad, all the partners of the ADHD Coalition, Attitude Magazine, Chad, Ada, I guess I should spell these out, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, the ADHD Coaches Organization, the National Resource Center, and Attitude Magazine. There's been a lot of great information that's out there. We hope that you have enjoyed our programming and all that everybody else has to offer. Tonight we've got a great show, ADHD, its impact on puberty and the advent of period, a.k.a. boobs, bras, and I'm just going to leave the rest blank here for a second. Before we get into tonight's show, a real quick announcement. The 2013 annual CHAD conference is right around the corner. It's in Washington, D.C., November the 7th to the 9th. I know I'm going to be leaving. We have a show next Wednesday that we're going to air, and then the next morning I'm up and flying up there, looking forward to the conference. If any of our fans are listening up there, know that I'll be there. Love to hook up with you. Love to get some ideas from you on show content, what you like, what you don't like, et cetera. If you haven't booked your ticket or you haven't checked it out, please go to Chad's website at chadd.org. You can get all the information you need. You can register for the event. It should be really a good time. Let's see. That's all the big announcements we have. So let's get in tonight. First of all, big thanks to Zoe Kessler. Zoe, I've wanted to actually do a bunch of shows on ADHD and females. The genesis of this goes back to an interview I did with Dr. Patricia Quinn a year and a half, 2 years ago, which really opened my eyes that the experience of ADHD is very different between men and women, and that really makes a lot of sense. The plumbing's different, the hormones are different, and the life cycles are different. And I've been looking for the right person because I've been wanting to do some shows from somebody who could speak from experience. And Zoe, and I needed somebody who not only could speak from experience, that could really kind of let go and really kind of get out there and stuff. And I stumbled into Zoe, and this is actually a part – this tonight's show is a part of a three-part series. Tonight the title is ADHD's Impact on Puberty and the Advent of the Period. But we also have ADHD, the Menstrual Cycle Roller Coaster, and then later we'll have another show, Finding It Difficult to Pause Because of Menopause. I know that the next show, I believe, is scheduled for the middle of November. The last one will probably be in December at this point in time. But I encourage everybody out there to listen to this. This is not just for females. This is actually a lot for men to understand the experience it's kind of going through. Zoe will share a lot of her personal experience and her insights as a female and through these different types of life cycles. So anyway, I'm real excited about it. For continuity, I learned a while ago that when you're going to do a series of shows like this, it's kind of best to kind of interview them in a group so that you don't leave stuff out and that it kind of flows from one to another. So these shows were actually pre-taped, as was tonight. And so we're going to play it in its entirety for a second, but I just kind of want to kind of frame this stuff out. So kick back. Enjoy. We'll start with her bio, and then we'll get into the media show. So we hope you enjoy it. So let's roll the tape.
Zoe Kessler is an award-winning author of the newly released ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding Your Keys, printed by New Harbinger Publications in 2013. She's also a journalist, a speaker, and a noted authority on women and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. She's worked on a wide variety of organizations, and her presentations are described as exhilarating, motivating, and entertaining. She's a top blogger at psychcentral.com. Her blog, ADHD From A to Zoe, has garnered loyal readership around the globe. She's a frequent contributor to Attitude Magazine, and has created radio documentaries, video, and stand-up comedy about women living with ADHD. She writes a guest blog and has been interviewed on international radio and has been featured in magazine articles, documentaries, and books on the topic of women and ADHD. To learn more about Zoe, go to www.zoekessler.com, and that's spelled ZoeKesSler.com. With that, Zoe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
I am awesome, Zoe. I have been wanting to do this show and a couple other shows that we're going to do on ADHD in women, probably for 2 years, but it's taken me a long time because it required the right guest, and I'm excited because I think you're just that person.
Hurrah! I got picked! Finally! Oh, man, am I ever regressing back to public school. I have to tell you, Jeff, your introduction made me so glad that I am diagnosed, treated, medicated, because that list of stuff, man, I could not have done that before. That,
wow.
It's just thrilling, and I'm also really, really glad it's not a full moon. And considering our topic du jour, we'll find out a little more about that very soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, our topic tonight is ADHD, its impact on puberty and the advent of the period. And this is a show targeted for parents, but more specifically for those ADHD teens out there. And, you know, Zoe, it's clear I know nothing what I'm talking about here because I'm just a guy, so I'm completely clueless. But the thing here, what motivated the show is I got to believe that it's difficult enough going through puberty. But having ADHD on top of that has got to have an impact. And Zoe, one of the reasons why I've been looking for somebody to come on the show that could speak to it from, like, personal reflection of being an experience as opposed to some academic saying it's kind of supposed to be like this. And I know that you've got some real interesting things to share because we were going back and forth in the title, and our title is ADHD, the impact on puberty and the advent of period, and you wrote boobs, bras, and blood.
I was wondering if you or I was going to refer to that.
I have to because it's so appropriate. And so I think to start this thing, in our conversations leading up to this, you talked about a book that you read. It's Wonderful Being a Girl, and that was a little bit of an experience for you. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
No, it was incredible. Jeff, I was 10 years old when this book was distributed throughout my public school, and we're going back a few decades, that's for sure. And we already knew something was going pretty weird in my childhood. I was bouncing off the walls. In fact, I was one of those rare ADHD females who actually had the hyperactivity. But, of course, back then we didn't know that girls had ADHD, and we sure didn't think of them as hyperactive. I was just a tomboy. So here I am, you know, playing in trees that had deer carcasses hanging from them from the hunter across the road and having a great old time playing tag. And I get this book in my hands. It's Wonderful Being a Girl. And on the cover, there's this beautiful, beautiful girl who is perfectly groomed and smiling and ever so feminine and lovely. And I just couldn't believe it. It's supposed to be like a mirror. And I'm looking at it. I'm thinking, you know what? There is no way I am ever going to be that girl. I will never look like that. And it just got worse from there. I knew that I was different than the other girls in school. And now I have to learn about menstruation. Ooh, so how's that going to be? All right, so read forward. I'm going to change again. All right, so far it's not going very well. And from reading over the booklet, I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure that having a period is really going to help me out here with my socialization because, of course, girls in public school have a heck of a time making and keeping friends. Apparently we're very chatty, et cetera. So let's look inside this book that was, by the way, distributed by Johnson & Johnson, the makers of and this is historical, Modas feminine napkins and belts. Now, if that's not going to make you confident, I don't know what will. Okay, so here we go. Inside the booklet, it gets even worse, because not only are there pristine, prim, and proper-looking, beautifully groomed girls, but now there's Chesty Morgan, and, you know, I was still the hyperactive tomboy, and I was pretty sure I was never going to look like that. At the very back of the book, there's a handy-dandy calendar, and this is dated 1969, and again, I was 10 years old, and this little calendar was provided for your convenience to keep track of your periods. It was called the Modas Keep Track Calendar. Well, you know what? I couldn't keep track of anything, okay? It was pretty fortunate that my mom actually managed to get me to school every day. I am sure there are times on the weekends when I, you know, my whole ADHD disorientation kicked in, and I know for a fact I got up and started getting ready for school because I didn't know what day it was, and I'm supposed to keep track of a period? That's not going to happen, pal. Okay, whatever. So let's read on. There were some good pieces of advice vis-a-vis your moon time, but unfortunately, these were very ADHD unfriendly pieces of advice, such as this little gem. Exercise. Okay, cool. Exercise is a very good treatment for ADHD. But the booklet said, do them every day at the same time. And do them every day. And I'm thinking, I don't do anything the same every day, and sure as hell not at the same time, except maybe school, if I'm lucky. And then it gets worse. The reason you have to do this, and now I'm getting really scared as I'm reading this booklet, because I'm just not measuring up. There isn't one page in this book that I can relate to, except maybe the one where the little girl has a horse. I mean, we couldn't afford getting me a horse, but I sure would have liked to have had one. So that was about it. So you do the exercises, and the reason you do it is to, quote, and again, this is kind of historical, give you the kind of figure and posture that gets looked over instead of overlooked.
Oh, wow.
Now, I already felt self-conscious for having these huge, thick glasses, scrawny legs, and no tits. And now I'm supposed to, I don't know, do what this booklet is telling me. So we didn't know I had ADHD, but we sure knew, I knew that I felt different from other girls. And, you know, I was not, there was no treatment for my ADHD, and now there was a whole other set of things that I had to keep track of and that I had to know about, and more ways that I could fall short. And it was pretty scary. I tortured myself with this book because I think I thought that the more times I read it over, I don't know, somehow through osmosis I can kind of absorb it and suddenly get up. Do you know, Jeff, in my work with women and ADHD, there was a common refrain that ties into this, and that was, the ADHD women who are adults just kept saying, I don't know how other women pull themselves together. You know, the shoes, the hat, the bag, the hair. You know, we can hardly have time to take a shower in the morning and get to work, you know?
Yeah.
So having a period, and now you've got to make sure that you're not leaving unsightly stains on your clothes. I mean, yeah.
So just to kind of pause here for a second, Zoe, I think that you there's so much that you just said. I just want to kind of pause for a second, and for our listeners out there, what I've learned in interviewing a lot of the experts is just, let's kind of back up for a second. For our loyal listeners, you know that I'm a fan of Dr. Barclay's and his executive function deficit disorder construct, and his argument that emotions are much a part of ADHD as attention. And with that being said, when you take a look at this stuff and what you've just described, Zoe, in a minute I want to talk about the emotion of it all, because it's bad enough to be going through puberty. I don't care who you are, but if you're having more difficulty regulating your emotions, it seems to me that it'd be kind of crazy. But we have that. Also, we did an interview, which actually kind of sparked this about 2 years ago with Dr. Quinn, and it was talking about how ADHD manifests differently in women and girls. And in that interview, I was having an aha, because I didn't really realize that the research says that girls internalize. It's the boys are bouncing off the walls, and they just kind of let it go, and they're kind of oblivious. But it's more of an emotional internalization, and we're talking in general terms. So everybody, you know that I'm not like a one-size-fits-all. We can't label everybody, but this is normative science, if you will, that they internalize it. And so I got to believe that if you're the other thing too is the notion that your executive functioning brain is maturing at a slower rate than that of peers. At least that's what I understand from the researchers. So I picture you now that you're a teenager. Your level of mental maturity is a little bit behind. You're bouncing off the walls a little bit. You're already feeling a little different about some stuff. And now you're looking at pictures of busty women saying that you've got to match up to them to a certain degree, and now you have to get on this organizational regimen to do that. I got to believe that just is over. I mean, that's got to bring somebody to tears.
It was really anxiety-producing, and I have to say that when your hormones kick in, quite frankly, anything brings you to tears, really. I mean, it doesn't have to be this. You know, you wake up and, you know, you look at the wall of your bedroom and you burst into tears. But I'm really glad that you mentioned Pat Quinn's work. She actually wrote the foreword for ADHD According to Zoe, so I was very, very grateful. And, you know, we all know her work on girls and women is just so amazing. But there are other researches, and I mention them in my book, that talk about how girls internalize, and it becomes a lot of self-shaming and self-blame. And, yeah, that was absolutely the same for me, too. And unfortunately, because we didn't know about the ADHD when I was a kid, my upbringing probably, I have to say, love my mom dearly, but she didn't know any better, and in trying to help me out would say things like, oh, you've got such mood swings, your emotions are always up and down, you know, can't you just get on an even keel? And I'm six, you know, I'm seven, I'm 10, and I'm thinking, well, no, and how are you going to help me? Like, your mom, you know, your mom. So what? But there was really no help offered or forthcoming. And I do want to chime in and agree that this is my story, but as you mentioned, the statistics are out there. The research is, thank God, starting to be done with girls and women, and I know that whenever I speak from my personal experience, there is a chorus of women and girls out there who go, "Yeah, I can totally relate to that."
Yep.
So here we are back in school, feeling very strange.
Can you hold your thought for a second? I need to run to a break real quick, and I want to come back because I don't want to interrupt the flow of this here in a second because there's a little bit of stopping point. But before we go to a break, for our listeners out there, your book has just come out, ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus and Finding Your Keys. That book is probably the easiest for them to purchase if they just go search for just Zoe, Zoekesseler on Amazon.com. Is that accurate?
Yes, that would work. Or they can search for ADHD According to Zoe.
According to Zoe. And if they want to learn more about you, your website's the best place to go. That's Zoe, Zoekesseler.com, correct?
You got it.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's 2013 Annual International Conference on ADHD that will be held November 7th through the 9th at the Hyatt Regency, Arlington, Virginia. Details about the annual conference are available on our new website at chad.com. Don't miss this chance to become an exhibitor and sponsor at this premier annual event.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Zoe Kessler. We're having a great conversation about boobs, bras, and blood. my mom would be proud. She's like, what? Never expected I'd do something on this.
As a writer, I'm proud of you just for the alliteration alone.
Well, thank you. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about just some of the basics in Zoe's experience, and we're starting talking about the emotional impact a little bit on women. And I interrupted Zoe because she was getting ready to go on something. I didn't want to stop it. So, Zoe, can you just jump in back where you were and let's just keep going with it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I was talking about the research that I did for my book, as well as the research that Dr. Quinn and others have done about how girls internalize shame and blame, and that, you know, as a girl in public school, I remember I really, you know, we want to please our mothers, and girls with ADHD, we try really, really hard to overcome our challenges. And so when I found out, you know, about my period and what was going to be happening, I thought, you know, am I going to do this right? Am I going to be able to? My mom tried to teach me all kinds of things, okay? And honestly, I wasn't really listening. I mean, housework, you know, laundry. I barely figured out laundry. Housework, don't even get me started. But, you know, so I'm given this little booklet on being a girl and what that's going to be like. And it's just all so completely anxiety-producing and overwhelming. And I also want to throw in the fact that I was adopted, as many people with ADHD have been. My sister, however, I like to refer to as the miracle child. I love her dearly, but she really did everything that was expected of her, and it was sort of like I was the black sheep, I was the kid with the ADHD, and so, of course, it was even more important for me to step up to the plate and try and win my mom's approval as opposed to, you know, being called a weirdo and, you know, having mood swings. And when the good old curse hit, I'm not talking about ADHD, the other one, you know, the period, the menstruation.
Yep.
Okay, ADHD is a blessing as well, let's face it. A period, I'm not sure if that can go into that category, but so when that happened, I was already very, very moody. We didn't know why at that time. In fact, a lot of women do get diagnosed with bipolar because of the mood swings, when really it's either bipolar and ADHD or just ADHD. But in my case, I was really just moody. My mood swings were huge. And then whammo, I get stricken by this gush of hormonal shifts. And I'll tell you, I was off the scale. And I know that, Jeff, when we talked about doing this show, you know, we were talking about PMS and a woman's hormonal fluctuations throughout her lifespan. And I called it meta-PMS because, you know, again, the research is fledgling, but it's starting to come out to start to show that women with ADHD, Kel surprise, have worse PMS than other women. And this does not surprise me. I've written about anger in women with ADHD, and we all know that even men and women can have that explosive temper, that irritability. And I'll tell you, this is not how you win friends and influence people, or influence your friends, or win people. I don't, you know, like it's just not good. It's just not good, all right? So I remember, you know, when I was first diagnosed with ADHD, because memory is also part of the problem, and I know we'll talk about that in a later episode when we move down the age spectrum. I interviewed my sister. And I said, you know, what was it like for you as my sister? And she came up with all kinds of memories that as soon as she started talking, it all came rushing back, because with my diagnosis, I tried to put all that behind me. And then, of course, New Harbinger came along and said, why don't you write a memoir? I'm like, thank you very much. And dredged it all up again. So what my sister said was we'd be playing, everything would be going fine, and then all of a sudden, pow, there was that anger. There was that mood swing out of the blue, and she didn't know what hit her. And, of course, this would be absolutely exacerbated once a month, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was it was just not fun for any of us.
So let me ask you a question. This is probably more difficult because what I'm hearing is you had ADD, you had motion anyway, you have the period and it kind of it throws everything on top of that. And we've talked about all this stuff that you're dealing with. As going back to when you were a girl, and this is like kind of like talking to that 16-year-old girl who's listening to the show out there who, in the closet kind of by herself because she's trying to figure this out. How did you cope with all this stuff when you were in it?
I mean, well, I beat up my sister a lot, and I'm not suggesting that anyone uses their siblings as their ADHD treatment, okay? Now, from my perspective as a much older woman, I can tell you that taking it out on your siblings isn't really prescribed by me or anyone else. So, in all seriousness, you do have a lot of physical energy, and you do have a lot of moodiness to deal with. Get the heck on your bike. Get on some kind of a sports team. I enjoyed swimming. Do a really hard, fast, active sport. If you have a lot of energy, as I did, or if you have those emotional mood swings, sports is one of the absolutely most recognized, researched, and highly touted ADHD treatments, and that will definitely help your moods to become... You know, you're still going to have mood swings, but you want to manage them with this athletic activity. Don't for one minute try and do what the booklet, "It's Wonderful Being a Girl," tells you to do. I don't care if you do it at the same time every day. Just do it every day, okay? If you can manage to get it on some kind of schedule, all the better for you. You need to get your ADHD diagnosis and treatment. Maybe you're listening right now and you're just thinking you have ADHD. That diagnosis is paramount because not only do you need to know that you actually have ADHD, you need to know what your ADHD looks like. You need to know what your particular symptoms and traits are and when they come out the worst. Is it around your monthly period? It may or may not be, but I'll tell you, if it is, you really have a lot to learn and educate yourself about. So, you know, talk to your school nurse, talk to somebody you trust, an adult, your family physician, and start getting some information. Because really, you know what, you absolutely can get a handle on this. And it's heartbreaking to lose your best friend because, you know, you're having a rough period or whatever and you blurt out some hurtful thing that you didn't mean to say. I mean, that's a heartache and you can prevent that. And the physical stuff, too. We also have research that shows I had really, Jeff, I don't know, maybe you don't want to listen to this part, okay? It's kind of ooey. I had really super bad cramps, like I really did. Okay, all the boys listening right now, you know, like just, okay, just deal with it. This is life, all right? I had horrible cramps. I mean, you can't walk to school or sit on a bus when you're doubled over. Like, people are making fun of you. It's awful. I had to stay home sometimes for 3 days with a hot water bottle or a heating pad. You know, talk to your doctor. Ask them. If you're on ADHD medications, let your doctor know. Talk to them and see if there's something they can do to help you with that aspect of it as well. Because if you are a girl with ADHD, that might be even worse as well. So it's going to stop you from doing some stuff. I mean, you might not even be able to go to school. I guess that's really bad, right? Sorry. No. Anyway, whatever. Okay. Next question.
There's some things that I kind of want to dig into a little bit deeper, but before we transition to that, again, we need to go to another commercial break, and for our listeners out there, Zoe's book, it just released, go get it, ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus, and Finding Your Keys, which is, I love that title, Finding Your Keys. You can learn more about Zoe by going to her website at zoekessler.com, and again, just Google the book. Book title or go on to Amazon, and you'll be able to find it. So, as soon as the technology gets fixed here, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more. How an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. And we've got Zoe Kessler in here, and we're having a great conversation about puberty and being female, for that matter. Before the last break, we were talking about Zoe and how you dealt with it. And one of the things you were talking about is sports and using get out there and kind of move around. And I just a few things out there. As a coach, I know when I'm coaching individuals, particularly around emotion, it's almost like, think of it like this, is you can only pay attention to one thing at a time. And the basic thing is if you can find a way to distract your attention so that you pay attention to something else, it can get you away from emotions and feelings. And there's a lot of research out there that if you go out and you exercise, particularly if you're doing something with some focus like chasing a ball or something like that, you can't worry and get emotional if you're focused on those pieces of it. And for many out there who might not be inclined to do as much exercise, the concept still applies to go get out and go, don't sit, worry, and harp on it. Don't try to find something to downregulate or shift your emotions as a means to move forward. And the other thing, too, is I'm stealing a little bit from another show that we're going to do. Zoe, you had explained to me that over time you had actually trained yourself to notice the dialogue in your head and to kind of counteract it. It seems to me that you were probably doing some of this as a teen, at least in the early stages. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah, so far I was sort of talking more around, say, when you're 12 and when you're first getting your period and so on. And we didn't know anything about my ADHD then, but I certainly did notice that there were times. And again, I mean, self-observation is not something that people with ADHD are really good at. So am I really noticing that this is a cyclical thing that's happening later in my teen years? Not particularly, but as time went on, it just seemed to start to dawn on me that, yeah, there was something going on. And then, of course, I did notice that, I have to say, in high school, I did notice that the crowd that I hung with, I had two sets of friends because I didn't fit in anywhere, okay? I really didn't feel that I had a group of friends that really reflected me and who I was and my interests. So my two groups of friends were the academics, the smart kids who all played instruments in the band. We're talking French horn and all the rest of it. And then my other completely different group of friends were all the stoners and all the kids who smoked pot before their first class and like rock music and were listening to great Canadian band called Rush and other bands. And at that time of the month, when, of course, your hormones, the impact of the hormonal shift for a girl is that it takes away any sort of self-control. It erodes the very things that ADHD also challenges us with. So those executive functionings that you were talking about earlier, that impulsivity, a lot of people with ADHD were hardwired. We're more susceptible to alcohol and substance abuse. As a teenager, this is a lethal, potentially lethal combination. So let me just go through that again. I have ADHD, and so I don't have great self-awareness. I'm a woman with ADHD, a young woman, maybe I'm a teenager, and as a kid, I felt sort of shamed and I couldn't live up to my mom's expectations, and then when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, I felt sort of odd and different from my friends, so I didn't really fit into the popular kids' clique, and in fact, I didn't even fit in with the stoners. So, you know, it was like, oh, no, I'm getting rejected even by the kids who were flunking. And so I had a few really close friends, but I still never really felt quite in my milieu. So I want to please. Girls are people pleasers. So what do? You get your period, and all of a sudden your self-control is even less. And at that time, I was more susceptible to drugs and alcohol. And that is the group of kids that I hung out with at that time. And I had no idea what was driving that or what was going on at the time. But in today's world, I have to say, you know, it's a very, very dangerous situation. I was born back in the dark ages when there weren't as many recreational drugs around, when, you know, you might have a drink when you're 15. I think I might have had an alcoholic beverage once when I was 15. But nowadays, the things that you can get can and will kill you. They've killed other kids. So if you're a young woman with ADHD and you know when you get your period that your ADHD treatment is not likely to be as effective, you really do need to see your doctor. You want to start watching your behaviors and, yes, knowing when that time is coming up, because it usually happens, for me anyway, a couple days before I start to bleed, before I start to menstruate, that, you know what, all I want to do is drink. And I'm telling you, I am not from a family of alcoholics, praise God. I'm not an alcoholic myself. And in fact, 20 years ago, when my first book came out, one of the things I wrote was that I'm really glad that I'm not an alcoholic or a drug addict. I didn't even know I had ADHD back then, but I knew something was going on.
Well, there's certainly a correlation between those two, between ADHD and alcohol and drugs. So I want to steal a little bit of your thunder there, Zoe, because we're going to cover a little bit more of that stuff in detail in another show that we're going to do. But
okay.
I tell you, one of the things today that's been interesting for me is, as I reflect back on our conversation, it's tough enough, I got to believe, to be a female going through adolescence and for puberty. You throw on top of that some of the things that we know about ADHD, if emotions and truly are more as much a part of ADD as attention is, and you got to self-regulate, that makes it more difficult. The fact that your prefrontal cortex or your executive functioning might be a little bit further behind and develop, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And then that constantly trying to measure up to everybody else's expectations and some of the organizational things that come in here, it's just like, to me, it's just throwing gasoline on a fire. And in a sense, I have so much respect for all the women out there who have ADHD and who have made it through puberty successfully, because it just sounds overwhelming to me.
It is. And I know that when we had first discussed doing this show, and I thought about what it was like being a young woman and a girl with ADHD, and how it really did tie in with all the research that I've done. And one of the stories that came to mind, Jeff, was and this is funny, you know, because don't ask me to remember anyone's name today or most of my life, but there is a name I remember, and this is the name. I will call her Liz. That was her name. And Liz was the first girl in our class to wear a bra. And I'll tell you, that change room was all abuzz when Liz Gelson shows up in a bra's ear. And, you know, we weren't even friends. We were just classmates. But this girl was like a pubescent Elizabeth Taylor. She had dark hair, big dark eyes, and she had breasts.
Wow.
So she shows up, and I'm wearing like my yellow undershirt, because as we all know, I was the tomboy, and I had these thimble-sized bumps, and I am just feeling completely, you know, like not measuring up, as it were.
Yep.
And then I started noticing the next thing. I started noticing that the boys were staring at her, were treating her differently, and she didn't like it. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And to me, one of the things that I think we don't talk often enough about ADHD in kids is that a lot of us who are educated in this, know that it's not about attention per se. It's about what we're paying attention to. And frankly, I think kids with ADHD are a heck of a lot more intelligent than have been given credit to date. And they're more insightful. And they're more intuitive. So I can tell you, I was paying attention to what happened to poor Liz, and it made a big impact on me, and it did start to shape. You know, maybe it was okay for me to not have enormous breasts, and maybe I am a bit different, but it actually really had a big impact on my whole sense of who I was and myself. And I think that's the opportunity for women in ADHD, is that we do live differently, a lot of us, and maybe we can't keep up with our neighbors who are more organized or whatever, but it's okay to be unconventional and to be yourself. And I think that, yeah, as girls, we may not feel that we measure up to what our girlfriends are doing in school and in high school. It's so important to be popular, and it's so important to be accepted, but you need to ask yourself, who do I want to be? What are my passions? What do I love to be? And how can I just be the best me that I can be? Because a lot of girls, a lot of people with ADHD are incredibly creative and talented, and I think that it's just so important to just let go of that. I mean, it's easy to say, it's hard to do, but it's just so incredibly important for all of us, especially girls who are going through this difficult time, to find things they really love about themselves. And, you know, Jeff, we talked about those mood swings. That's one, besides exercise, look at what you're proud of. Remind yourself. Put something on your wall in your bedroom of you know, a mark that you got at school that you were really proud of, or one day you went to school and someone you admire said, wow, you look great today. You know, where'd you get that outfit? Or whatever, I don't care what it is. Put it on your bedroom wall. And when your period hits, and your emotions are going crazy, and you think, as I did, I mean, I thought some horrible things. I thought I was a failure, and I got, my thoughts were sort of suicidal. I mean, literally, I thought, I'm weird, nobody loves me, I'm such a loser, I wish I could just kill myself, but I'm too cowardly, all that stuff, I'm ugly. I mean, you know what, if you get zits as well, good luck with that, because I had a big nose, thick glasses, zits, and skinny legs. So I can tell you, self-esteem is a real problem at those times. Find things you love about yourself. Remind yourself that you've done things of value. And next, tell yourself, this is going to pass. This hormonal situation here is going to pass and I'll feel better. And you know what? Even Liz Gelson didn't like having boobs at one point. So
yep,
I'm sure she's
absolutely
okay with it now, but you know?
Yep. So, Zoe, I need to wrap this thing up a little bit, but in listening to this, I'm trying to stand in the shoes of a young girl listening to this and listening to what you're saying and everything, and trying to imagine how difficult it really is to implement some of these things. And I'm not so sure I can say that I have any advice other than this, and that is that, Zoe, you just described it when you were there. But for all you girls that are listening to this, you're going to get through it. And because Zoe got through it, and look at Zoe now. She's written some books. She's very self-confident. I mean, she's in here talking about blood, da-da-da-da, like it's like nothing. So I say that because there is hope. The show is done, inspired specifically because I don't think what you're going through is an easy thing. And I'm not a girl. I have no idea what your experience is, but I just know that I have a healthy appreciation for everybody's gotten through it. And so with that, if for no other reason, you have Zoe to be inspired with, because she lived what you're living, and she got through it, and look at her confidence. So with that, Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks very much, Jeff. I'm just so glad that a guy was willing to hear all this stuff.
Well, I'm a curious kind of guy, so I think it's kind of fascinating. So, again, out there, as a reminder, everybody, go check out Zoe's book, ADHD According to Zoe, The Real Deal on Relationships, Finding Your Focus and Finding Your Keys. And to learn more, go to zoekessler.com. So with that, thanks one last time, Zoe. We'll catch you.
Hey, Jeff, thanks.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.